What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
Anthony Heron, Score football analyst.
What concerns me with Braxton Jones right now is that he doesn't seem to be moving as well to me right now.
Is it because of the ankle surgery?
I believe it's two reasons. The ankle surgery, but then also there's concerns for the power rush.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Heron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Heron, number 99.
Mr. Heron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Heron on 670 The Score.
It's the Rahimi and Harris Show. I am Mark Grody in for Layla today. Talked a lot of Bears earlier in the show, specifically about the Bears. 29-27 win over the Chiefs, one in which the Bears' first couple of drives were flops, got better on the third and fourth, and the last drive was excellent in the first half. Tyson Bagent's final drive of the game was excellent, and here to talk all about it, we saw him all dressed up and looking nifty on Fox 32 doing pregame and postgame. He is Anthony Heron. He joins us here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What up, Big Ant?
Gross, Marshall. So I'm appreciative, even impressed, that you stayed up late enough to watch me on the postgame. That was a late game the other night, and then myself and Cassie Carlson in the studio. I got Cat Feet, Lou Kanellis, who you just heard in the open that you guys put together.
Cat Feet, did you say?
Lou Kanellis, yes. Lou Kanellis, back in the day, many moons ago when he was still playing high school football, he went by the name Cat Feet. So I work that in every once in a while when I'm talking about my guy, Sweet Lou. But, yeah, that you stayed up late enough to check us out there. I appreciate it.
To be quite honest with you, I was doing the Take the North podcast with Weederer. So I was watching Fox 32 because I was waiting for you guys to get to the press conferences. So as good as the breakdown was, I was like, come on, let's go. Let's go. Come on, Ben Johnson. Get in there. Let's go. Oh, Marky Mark wants to go to bed. So
did you say you just watched Ant just by happenstance because you were really looking for the press conference? Is that what I just heard?
No. Well, the game was on. Was it on Fox? Yeah,
yes.
it was on Fox.
Yes.
So honestly, I'm just going to be straight up with you.
Be straight up.
I record it. Even when I'm covering the games, I always record your post game. I like to hear what you have to say. So, and that's why you're here.
I appreciate that too.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not going to. By the way, I'm not going to have the flowers. You know, don't expect the flowers throughout this entire hit, though, Anthony.
No doubt. Oh, by the way, I do want to reference because I'm pretty sure it's Brett Musburger saying my name and making it sound like I didn't actually sack T. Tom Brady, they're like, oh, Anthony Herron got the credit for it. I did sack Tom Brady, even though Brent made it sound like, you know, wow, he wasn't quite sure because he misidentified me initially in the call.
You are
so
looking
I appreciate
live.
The fellas.
That's on the spotter, yeah, as you right. know, Ed. So, that's on the spotter, not on Brent. That's on the spotter.
Yeah, you know, Brent's big time, man. He doesn't have to look sure. at those numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it can be. It certainly can be on the spotter, no doubt. But that's not why anybody called here. What's up, fellas?
Okay, so let's get right into it. Caleb Williams, his final preseason game was blank.
Adequate.
Okay.
I'll go with adequate. Yeah, I mean, not abundantly impressive, but certainly not abundantly concerning either. The way the offense started the game, the fact that you had the mistimed snap count, you know, like that, a lot of that should be on Caleb, where you have the receiver coming in jet motion and the ball gets snapped at a time where he should be able to hand that football off just as Olamide Zaccheaus is coming right behind him. And that's supposed to time up in a fashion where as soon as Caleb gets the ball in his hands, he reaches behind him and the receiver is able to take it in one fluid swoop behind the quarterback. Then you can outflank the defense. You can gain leverage because your speedy playmaker gets the ball while he's already running at top speed. So that play has to time up in a unified sort of manner, and it just didn't. In theory, that's mainly on Caleb. You know, who knows if there's some other little nuance of the play that's off, but me just looking at that from the outside looking in, Caleb didn't get the ball snapped in a timely manner. So that one's on him. Then you come to second down. That one's on Loveland, but that's crowd noise. That's the anxiety of being in Arrowhead together for the first time. That's why I am usually, if not always, a big advocate of just getting the players lined up together, having them dressed for a game, and hopefully some of that is just out of their system now because they've been through this together before. It doesn't mean the first hostile environment they play in during the season won't impact them in some way, but there are some nerves that go into just getting on the road together for the first time. So I'm hopeful that that's at least indicative of them responding, because then you get to the next couple of series after that, and things did progressively throughout the first half of the Bears offense, and specifically the Bears quarterback, look better and better.
I think everything you said is fair, and I want you to tell me if what I'm about to say is fair. I watched that first series, and as you mentioned, you broke down the Olamide Zaccheaus fumble exchange with Caleb Williams and the holding by Colston Loveland. Am I right to look at that and say, good God, this is what we saw in so many first series last year, and say, oh boy, have things not gotten better in the beginning of games?
Some of that is that shrapnel, the shrapnel of last season, the shrapnel of the last few Bears quarterbacks. But specific to this one, like when you think back to, you know, some of the Justin Fields machinations that were there, it would be like a great start in the scripted portion of the game plan, and then things would fizzle. For Caleb during his rookie season last year, it was, to your point, Groats, there would be this slow start, and then things would just, you know, just ascend in the fourth quarter of games. So this did feel more similar to that, where it took them a bit to get it figured out. But I like to view it through the context of Ben Johnson as well. And as the play caller, one thing we saw him do pretty frequently in his time working with Jared Goff in Detroit, when the Lions offense, and I know some of this can be sort of out of town stupid if we just assume the Lions offense always clicked, but of course it didn't. There were a number of games where Jared Goff was out of rhythm early, a number of games against the Bears where the Bears were picking off Jared Goff left and right. And Ben Johnson would go about the business of getting his quarterback in rhythm. That's what I saw him do in that game against the Chiefs. Let's get DeAndre Swift going in open space. Let's hit some easy swing passes, some flare routes out of the backfield. Let's get the run game going. Let's use the quick game to, you know, Roma Dunze and the playmaker just on some now routes outside. So between the quick game and the run game, that did seem to get Caleb in rhythm. That did seem to get the offensive line lathered up. And that's where the final two series of the first half did appear like, you know, the Bears offense that we knew they were capable of, that Ben Johnson seems confident they're capable of. You set a high standard, you set big expectations, and just to be able to have these things become more consistent is the hope. But I did see a play caller get his QB into rhythm, and that's what you hope will be the case, because we know this isn't going to be perfect. This isn't going to be constantly, you know, having big positive results every drive during the regular season. but you take the information from those initial series, you get it to the sideline, you put your heads together, and find a way to get your guys going. So right now, we only have so many data points to judge this by. I'm looking at what we saw in the second quarter against the Chiefs defense, and saying Ben Johnson took some information and got his offense into a better rhythm.
Yeah, it's hard for me to be on board with what you're saying, Ant, just because the way the offense looked against the starters versus the way they looked, of course, as you said, in the second quarter, it was against lesser competition. And I understand that that's just the way it goes. They can only beat the guys that are out there in front of them. Meanwhile, you said adequate to describe Caleb Williams. Is inadequate an unfair way to describe what I saw out of that defense that Dennis Allen rolled out there against, I know, future Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes?
No, but then there's, of course, the context of who wasn't out there from the starting defense. But we can still judge the guys that were out there. You know, I mean, maybe Montez Sweat has an extra moment to get home. So after he presses the pocket back, which Montez Sweat is mainly a power rusher. So he gets into the sternum of the offensive tackle and uses his long limbs, those long arms, to extend out. And he frequently collapses the pocket. So he's an impactful rusher in that situation. Where, you know, like I was talking about what Austin Booker got better at in that first preseason game we saw him in, where he's not nearly as powerful of a rusher as Montez Sweat, but when he starts down the middle, he seems to have gotten better at getting off that block and making a play at the quarterback in preseason games. But for Montez Sweat, pretty frequently, he'll collapse the pocket, but then he needs to more consistently get to the point where he's getting rid of that offensive tackle and making a play at the quarterback. Or, now that he's set that tackle up with some power, get to the edge of that tackle. Montez Sweat pulled the tackle back pretty frequently in the series that he got in the game the other night, but we're talking about Patrick Mahomes. So Mahomes climbs the pocket, he slips this way, then he starts to run sideways. He's got the ball flailing all over the place. So you're wondering, how come nobody can just knock the ball away from Patrick Mahomes? Look at how he's carrying it like a loaf of bread. But somehow, he never gets it knocked away. Somehow, he rarely gets sacked. Somehow, even though his 40 time probably isn't much faster than mine is right now, but he consistently eludes defenders. He's got a knack for doing that. So the frustration, you see, like Bears pass rushers, they're flailing their hands all over the place looking for a holding call. Maybe you did get held a little bit, but that means you got to get rid of that blocker with violence and make sure that you have an opportunity to make a play at that quarterback. That can be that frustrating sort of fine line for a defensive lineman where you want to see if you can get the call, you know, get the ref, let them know, hey, I'm getting held right here. My arms are up. How come you're not throwing the flag? While that's happening, though, Patrick Mahomes is running off somewhere else to try and hit, you know, some of his playmakers for a first down. I mean, if the Chiefs didn't have a couple of drops in that first half, they would have put up more than 200 yards in that first quarter. I mean, Patrick Mahomes looked in midseason form.
Well, you just cleared something up for me, too. And I know a texter had said something or somebody might have called in because I was wondering why Jervon Dexter's running down the field, throwing his arms up. Like, look to me, I thought it was because, what the hell? Patrick, like, somebody blew an assignment, but it was because he was pissed off because he didn't get a flag. So,
That's the telltale. I'm getting held. That's what that is.
You see
a D lineman, if he's not trying to knock down a pass, you see both hands go in the air in the middle of a pass rush. That's him saying, hey, man, this dude's holding me. Come on, somebody help me out.
So you knew that right away.
You can't be waiting around looking to get bailed out by somebody. Now, you know, I have certainly been guilty of that myself as an old defensive lineman. But in theory, you don't want your guy just looking to get bailed out by the ref. You want him whipping that blocker and finishing at the QB. But you know, Dexter was in the backfield some, Sweat was in the backfield some, but they're near the quarterback, reaching for Mahomes as opposed to getting rid of the blocker to actually finish at the quarterback. And there's that balance to that. So that, to me, it's a similar concern to what we discussed throughout a lot of last season. How much better is the pass rush legitimately now? Because it was a pass rush from the Bears last season that really struggled to finish at the quarterback.
Okay. We're talking to Anthony Heron on the Raheemi and Harris Show on The Score. I'm Mark Rohde. Then, as you said, the shrapnel line, which was really good, do you think that the defensive stuff is not shrapnel? That's real what we saw? Like, that's a real concern? And Marshall Harris very much would like to know that right now.
It's a valid concern. Now, again, at full health, I do believe this is going to be a good Bears defense.
Okay.
With Jalen Johnson out there, with Kyler Gordon out there. Now, I'll say
Grady Jarrett, too. Important to mention
Grady
his name.
Jarrett as well, yes. Now, I'm very hopeful about a couple of things in this defense. Two things. It seems to me, what I've seen so far And Tremaine Edmonds hasn't gotten a lot of in-game reps, and he didn't even dress for the game the other night. But this does seem to be, in the preseason, the best version of Tremaine Edmonds I've seen so far in his time with the Bears.
Yes.
And there's an attack to the way this defense is called by Dennis Allen, and frankly an attack to the way this coaching staff operates with these players, where that to me has been the most frustrating part of evaluating Tremaine Edmonds, because just like DeAndre Swift was exactly who he was throughout his entire career last year, and I think Bears fans didn't really know that that's who he was. Just like Montez Sweat. Last season was the same Montez Sweat he had been every other season that wasn't 2023. Like, Montez Sweat is a guy who collapses the pocket, but he's not a big sack master, usually. There's a number of players who you can point to and say, that's kind of who they've always been. They're good players, above average players, but they're getting paid like they're super elite. Tremaine Edmonds has looked pretty elite in preseason activities so far. There are physical attributes he brings to the table that look like he could be a one percenter as an inside linebacker. Maybe what we've seen in training camp indicates that you could see the best version of Tremaine Edmonds.
Because why like is this because of DA? Is this because of DA? Because of Dennis Allen? Like, why is he all of a sudden looking like that?
That's the main thing I would point to right now, because this is a scheme that calls individual position groups into aggression. If the DBs can handle it, Dennis Allen wants you in the face rerouting wide receivers. This is a secondary that played well at full health regardless, but you do have some guys who are probably at their best. Like, Jalen Johnson wants to be in the grill of a wideout. Now, Tyreek Stevenson, he's an aggressive mentality. He's not necessarily the guy who's going to travel with a receiver all over the field and lock him down in man coverage. But frankly, that's not Kyler Gordon's strength either. But how do you utilize the aggressive temperament of certain players? Kyler Gordon's superpower is his versatility. He's that movable chess piece. So there's creative things that Dennis Allen will be able to do with him. And I even think the aggression of Tyreek Stevenson, some corner cat type situations. He seems like a guy who would be able to handle that and be able to thrive in those scenarios. So that's where the secondary, I think, has a chance with the aggression of the defensive play caller and the aggression that they just coach them with every single day. They should benefit from that. And to Tremaine Edmonds himself, get him downhill. Don't just think that he's going to be a guy who senses the playmaking opportunity and makes it instinctively, because that's never who he's been. But find moments for him to have to react downhill, to say, you just take one shoulder of that blocker and get into the backfield. Seek and destroy missions for Tremaine Edmonds. He's not a great blitzer. He doesn't time up the blitz that well. But on his run fits, he tends to be very lateral. He's a sideline to sideline guy, or at least that's what he's been a lot throughout his career. I'm seeing more forward momentum for Tremaine Edmonds at the snap of the football, which I think will really benefit his true playmaking ability. If this defensive scheme is calling him into that and he's benefiting from it, then you could have a defense. And again, this is could. It's hopeful, because that's not the version of Tremaine Edmonds we've seen frequently throughout his career. But the ability, the physical traits are there. If Dennis Allen can maximize that, then that's where. If your best Montez Sweat and your best Tremaine Edmonds and your best Kyler Gray, your best safeties for Jaquan Britt, like, it's kind of like the Cubs, where if you get the best version of a bunch of guys on this Bears defense, then you really got something cooking. That's going to be where Dennis Allen, as sort of the chef of this defense, has to find that right mixture.
Big Ant Heron joining us, spitting fire through the wire. If you want to hear more of Big Ant, he'll be co-hosting with Lawrence Holmes. That's tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. You talked about one percenters in Tremaine Edmonds and what you've seen out of him, the way he looks right now. My thing is, they're not going to get very far without some one percenters or at least five percenters on the defensive line. Who can fill that void right now? Because I just don't see it right now, Ant.
You can come at guys in waves on the defensive front. You know, if you've got TJ Watt, then that's fabulous. If you've got Micah Parsons, that's exceptional. But if you've got a Philadelphia Eagles scenario, if you've got, you know, a Kansas City Chiefs scenario, where Chris Jones is a one percenter on the defensive front, but, you know, the Chiefs don't necessarily have a D-line just full of all-pro or Pro Bowl caliber guys, but you can come at opponents in waves and play with energy. And this is a defensive staff that coaches energy. They coach tenacity. They coach effort. You will see the Bears chasing the ball in a way that seems different, that feels different than what we saw the last couple of years under Matt Eberflus. Despite all the get your track shoes stuff, kind of the first season, you felt that a little bit. Then year by year, month by month within a season from a Matt Eberflus defense, that seemed to wane. I do think, certainly early on, we'll see if it's sustainable, But I do know Dennis Allen is the type of guy. He's the type of coach who will coach effort, who will make it Pavlovian, where when the ball is gone, these defenders should be chasing it. That's where the D-line, if you have a rotation, and we're talking about a third-round pick, and Zach Pickens, we'll probably get into it maybe a bit more in the next segment, foreshadow. Ching. But, you know, guys who may not make this team, because it's a deeper group up front, we should see more of a rotation for the Bears where this D-line can play with energy. So even if Montez Sweat doesn't turn into double-digit sack Montez Sweat, but if he's impactful and Dio Dangbo is impactful and Grady Jarrett is impactful, you got enough guys who are impactful on individual snaps and just play with energy, you don't necessarily need one or multiple of them to be true one percenters.
You are listening to the Raheem and Harris Show on the Score. All right, we are going to take a break, Big Ant, but when we come back, we will get into Zach Pickens.
Cut day.
We will talk. I want to ask you about like the two offense and defense is kind of perfect. Two third-round picks, Karan Amagaji and Zach Pickens. We will ask you about that. I also want to ask you, Anthony, because, you know, you like to tell us when we're wrong. You like to set the record straight. So I want to, and this could be any sport, like if it's the Cubs or the Bears, I want
you. He'll probably tell you you're wrong.
That's what I'm waiting for. I want you to tell us the score, usually what we're all getting wrong about something. So there's that. And today, Marshall told me earlier today, is kiss and make up day? Is that the case?
Kiss and make up day.
I want to find out if there's anybody that you want to kiss and make up with. So, which is really uncomfortable for married people. But.
Well, I'm digital right now, so we'll see.
Yo. Mark Grody, ladies and gentlemen.
I am providing a lot of discomfort on this show today. It is Raheemy and Harris with me, Mark Grody, filling in for Layla on the Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Brady couldn't find an open man. He's going to be sacked from behind at the 24-yard line by Skip Miller. And Heron, Anthony Heron, receives credit for it.
I received the credit, but we're not really sure if he had the sack. You are looking live at somebody. Welcome back to the...
It may or may not be Anthony Heron that you're looking at, but I'll tell you something. The spotter just told me he got the sack.
He's some guy. He looks like a good player. He's Anthony Heron. He's joining us on The Score. Rahimi and Harris, I'm Mark Grody, in for Layla. Real quick here, Big Ant. I know you got a lot to say, but just real quick, like Brad Biggs letting us know that... Biggs time. Morning, boys. That the Bears have placed rookie cornerback Zay Frazier on the reserve, not in football, injury list. It is exactly what it sounds like. It is an injury away from the football field. It could be something personal. He will miss a minimum of 4 games because of that.
And also, we have some wave news and some, at least one name of big notice.
Ray just did the wave, by the way.
The Bears have released defensive back Trey Flowers, running back Royce Freeman, and offensive lineman Joshua Miles. This is breaking news, and breaking news on The Score brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Also, the Bears have waived defensive back Millard Bradford, defensive lineman Xavier Carlton, defensive back Alex Cook, linebacker Power Echols, defensive back Caleb Hayes, quarterback Austin Reed, tight end Joel Wilson.
Oh, no.
And running back Ian Willer.
Joel Wilson was the first guy, I think, that Ben Johnson pointed out and said, who's playing well? Joel Wilson has really opened my eyes a little bit.
A lot can change over the course of a month plus.
The reality of the NFL, right, Big Ant?
This is something would have been worth clarifying weeks ago, or perhaps even months ago.
Bears.
Is it Zay or Za Frazier?
That's a great question. It is Zay.
Okay.
He corrected.
Right, hear Za on occasion.
I understand. I'll take you behind the scenes. On the first day, I was out at Bears headquarters for the draft, and as it happens, the Bears let us talk to all of these people via Zoom, and I don't even remember who the reporter was. I would have said Za too, so I don't care. Like, nobody made a mistake. They said, Za, how you doing? And he corrected us right away. He said, actually, it's Zay, which I appreciated, because oftentimes, especially rookies, they will not correct you when you botch their name, because they're just happy to be there.
Luther Burton III would have corrected you, at least on that day he would have.
All right, my friend. So we're talking about cuts and the reality of the NFL, but there are 2 third-round picks on the Bears who are on the bubble. One of them is Zach Pickens, third-round pick on the defense. The other is Karan Amagaji, third-round pick on the offense. What say you, Anthony Heron?
I believe Karan Amagaji will make this roster. I'll certainly be surprised if they release him. He was a third-round pick from last year, and he does have some impressive physical attributes at his size, his movement ability. I think he shows some capability to play with some leverage as well. He just hadn't played a lot yet. He's been in the NFL for about 16 months and has been hurt for quite a bit of that time. So they haven't even seen him on the field enough to really have a legitimate evaluation of him. And I would imagine that just enhances the difficulty of considering moving on. And, you know, they may not even be considering moving on from a Karan Amagaji, but as far as it sits right now at tackle, he's obviously not going to be a starter at tackle. You know Darnell Wright, it'd be on the left side. Yeah, I certainly have been under the belief for a while that Braxton Jones will be, Darnell Wright on the right side, Braxton Jones on the left side. And then from there, it's been a nice story to see Theo Benedet be able to actually get to a point where their coaching staff is willing to get him some work at left tackle. With the ones, my impression is that was multi-tiered. You know, there was the opportunity for Benedet to show if he could handle that. Because sometimes you get that deer in the headlights look. You know, it's one thing to perform well, you know, sort of off the radar. But once the coaches say, okay, we like what you're doing, here, do it against good players. And do it while you're standing next to other really good players. Some guys start to sort of clam up a little bit. And Theo Benedet, I think, has still shown himself pretty well. But he did have some moments of struggle in that preseason game the other night against the Chiefs. So you know, Karan Amagaji is not going to be in a position to really still consider himself a part of the starting left tackle battle. But whether it's at tackle, I do believe that the guard position, just to make sure they've got enhanced depth there, and it's a spot he's played at before, they're going to view him as a, you know, a guy with potential to contribute at either spots, on the interior or outside of tackle. But I'd be really surprised if they moved on from Amagaji, because he, I don't believe a recent third-round pick is someone who would clear waivers and then have a shot to claim him on the practice squad.
Anthony Heron joining us here on Raheemi and Harris. Mark Grody in for Layla. He's big-time analyst for not only 670 The Score, but also Fox 32, Big Ten Network. Yeah. And the old cliche was, you can't make the club from the tub. Does that not heard apply that here to Karan Amagaji just because he's so new, so he gets a little extra grace?
He may not make the 45-man dress list, but, yeah, I think he'll probably make the 53. And while Ben Johnson wasn't leading the Bears when he was drafted, but Ryan Poles was, and it was just a year ago. And I would imagine from what Ben Johnson has seen of him on the hoof and how he's interacted with him that he sees some potential in a young offensive lineman in Karan Amagaji, where it would feel – my guess is it would feel pretty quick to just give up on that and move on. Now, by comparison, the other name you mentioned there was Zach Pickens. And Zach Pickens was a guy that I really thought when he came in his rookie season, that first preseason in training camp, showed some really enticing movement ability. And between the two, comparing him with Javon Dexter even, I said Zach Pickens was the guy right away, that first rookie preseason, that seemed to be more adept and more comfortable at how you hit creases as a defensive lineman and get in the gaps. And there just hasn't been much that he's shown, and he has had plenty of opportunities in game action. So that's one difference. He's not only a year further into his career and his evaluation, but he's been fairly healthy and got to the point last season after his real first game of actual production of note, then they stopped dressing him after that point. So whatever on the field and or off the field has been there with Zach Pickens, this is not a regime that seems like they've kind of been enamored with what he's been doing. And he's a year older, and he's been healthy, so there's been a lot more opportunity to evaluate whether or not Zach Pickens can truly work his way into this depth chart. They've just got other guys on the inside who they have been able to see do it at a higher level than him. So, yeah, I do think he's a guy who's in real jeopardy.
The multiple texters now asking, what's the difference between a player being waived and a player being released? Very simply, a player who is waived can be picked up by another team, and they would have to pick up that contract. If you're released, essentially, you become an unrestricted free agent. I don't think there's any more texture that needs to be added to that, I don't think. Anthony, Marshall and I were both surprised, taken aback a little bit earlier when we were talking to Dan Weider, and he said that Andrew Billings is not a slam dunk to make this roster, just because he isn't necessarily the type of player that Dennis Allen wants, and he'd be more prone to somebody younger and maybe more athletic like a Chris Williams. Does that surprise you to hear that? Because it sure surprised us.
I think it's a good observation from Dan. It surprises me just because of what Andrew Billings very quickly, you know, showed himself to mean to this team. But again, it wasn't this coaching staff in this defensive scheme. But, you know, Ryan Poles gave him like a decent chunk of change going into last season. Not anything that's insurmountable from a salary cap perspective. And then what really stood out to me, he was playing deeper into that preseason game the other night than I anticipated in Andrew Billings playing into the game as well.
But, you see him hauling ass down the field, too, at one point?
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
I mean, you know, he certainly looks like he's still got it.
Yeah,
but
he does.
If there's, for some reason, if DA doesn't feel like he suits how he would really like to operate here, then, you know, I could certainly see it, because it's not going to be, there's not such guaranteed money invested in Andrew Billings that they couldn't move on from him.
No doubt.
But I am viewing him as a part of the depth of the interior of that D-line that they'll benefit from in having a legitimate rotation with that. If your starters are Grady Jarrett and Javon Dexter, and then you go beyond that, you know, who else are you viewing as someone dependable on the inside? Chris Williams hadn't really fired much of a shot in the NFL. He seems like a guy who should be in your rotation and you're too deep for the Chicago Bears. But Andrew Billings is, you know, beyond Grady Jarrett, Andrew Billings is the most accomplished interior defensive lineman on this team. So I would certainly be surprised if Billings didn't make it. But, you know, he's not starting. And I would imagine it's for a reason, because they don't view him as one of their top couple of guys. But I don't think they're deep enough on the D-line to not anticipate Billings being here. That would surprise me.
Certainly something to keep an eye on. Anthony Heron joining us here on Raheemian Harris, Mark Grody in for Layla. Ant, we want to open the floor to you because several things have been said, not just on this broadcast, but several. You know about the Mark Grody mush on the Cubs winning the division, which he might end up being right.
The famous Mark Grody mush, after all I went through since April, we're now calling it the famous Mark Grody mush.
You said
He
said they were going to win the division. Clinch the division in July.
And now Marshall says.
I thought it was April, actually. Maybe it might have been.
He may have doubled down in July.
Whatever. It was horrible either way.
It's one thing to say you're going to win the division. It's another thing to say after this game, they will clinch the division.
I ask your question. You don't have to denigrate me along the way.
So, Ant, where are you on the Cubs right now?
I'm certainly hopeful. It's just good to see Kyle Tucker driving the ball again. It's been a while since we saw that. And so to get three homers in over a two-day span, how much of it is mental? How much of it is physical? I don't think the finger just magically healed from one night where he was still grounding out and lining out to suddenly the next day he's banging bombs. So how much different can the finger really feel? I would imagine that there is something, you know, mental, emotional. That's an aspect with every athlete every time they step onto the field. You want to be as clear-minded and confident as you can be, and after you start to struggle, and if there is an ailment that's there, it can be really difficult to work through and get over some of those things. So, I mean, you know, his name has been, you know, in the kind of gone through the ringer in the Chicago media here from many of us in a way that he hadn't experienced really in his Houston career or in the early portion of his time with the Cubs. So between Tucker and Council, like Council watching, you know, I'm sure you guys saw the clip when PCA hits the bomb and Council's like, you know, fist pumping and yelling from the dugout. That's a version of Craig Council we haven't seen very much either. So yeah, I mean, they've kind of gone through it a little bit in the media. They might be coming out the other side of it. So I'm hopeful and encouraged with where the Cubs are at right now. The same frailties in this lineup still exist, but if Kyle Tucker starts to consistently look like that early season Kyle Tucker again, then he's able to lift up this lineup in a way that makes them more formidable. Now, you still need PCA. Like, Kyle Tucker alone isn't going to be enough, but you get PCA doing it. Matt Shaw stays consistent. Again, it just goes to a lot of ifs. You got to get the best version of a bunch of guys because, you know, none of them are necessarily elite enough to just carry it solo.
Do you think the Cubs are going to win the division like Marshall does?
I do not.
Good. I mean, like, I hope they do, but
it's a lot of ground to cover.
He didn't even think it's not. They dug
it's
a
not
hole.
A lot of ground to cover. He didn't even think it would be a big deal.
For this,
for this version
of the Cubs, it's a lot of ground to cover.
Okay.
Like, you know, if it was the Dodgers, then all right.
Check
not
back
as much
with me
ground
in 2 weeks.
To cover for the Dodgers.
And check back with me in 2 weeks.
I will happily do. Well, I'm guessing I will. We're going to be talking a lot over the next couple weeks.
Maybe we just did it, Ant. But is there anything that we're all getting wrong here that's bugged you in listening to the Score in between times that you're actually hosting on the Score?
Leave Kyler Gordon be. Kyler Gordon is fine as a nickel. He doesn't need to move to full-time safety because you're worried about Jaquan Brisker's concussions. He doesn't need to move to full-time corner because he got some money and he's kind of listed as a corner and just line him up outside. Neither one of those things are what he's best at. What he's best at is being versatile. What he's best at is being a chameleon in the Bears' defense. He, at times last season, was their best edge rusher. He, at times last season, was a fantastic off-ball linebacker. He aligned at safety on occasion. He aligned at corner on occasion. Him being that, him being the chameleon, him being mystique to this Bears defense.
Ooh, mystique.
That's his superpower. That's where Kyler Gordon is at his best. Allow him to be that. Don't try to find that one spot because he got a little bit of extra cheddar and say, well, you got to have one place or one piece to feature him in. You really don't. What he's best at is being a bunch of different things and being exceptional at all of them. Just leave him alone.
Anthony Heron and I completely align on the Kyler Gordon issue. Let that man cook where he is doing what he does best. I appreciate that, Anthony.
And I feel bad for whoever spouted that got you going. Somebody was wrong, and Anthony Heron has set you straight.
You've been set straight. You're welcome, America.
You're the best, dude. Thanks for coming on.
Some patriotic music for that.
That's right.
Yes.
Appreciate you, fellas.
Thank you so much, Ant.
That's Ant. How about we give something away here? And maybe we'll get to hang out.
Well, I thought we were going to do that on the other side. No?
Wait, what?
I thought we were doing that on the other side.
Oh, not now? With the I thought you said, oh, we are doing it now?
No. We're out of time, Grody. That's why I said in your ear, let's do it on the other side.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Sorry.
If you want something free, you're going to have to wait just a little longer.
Yes. All
right. What you saying?
And when we come back, we're going to tell you a story of how things can go quickly out of control from Ray and my visit to the old sports book in Las Vegas. Tensions can be high. Tensions can be very high. We'll tell you how we were almost involved in a melee.
Well, oh,
a
yeah.
A fracas, a skirmish.
Did you kiss and make up with anybody when you were in Las Vegas?
We'll talk about
you
that too.
You don't want to talk about
no,
that,
we will.
Do you?
We'll, okay. we'll talk about okay. that on the side too. More with Mark Grody here on Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
So, I was waiting for Don't Call It a Comeback.
We're not getting that. This is the instrumental. I don't know if you know how songs are made. Sometimes they have words, sometimes they do not. This would be the instrumental version.
Robbie, write this down. From now on, when you play that, I need the lyrics at the beginning. Okay.
I'm writing it down. Write it down.
Write that down. Marshall, you were just in Vegas, dude. We haven't talked one word about it.
Yeah, that's because I was immobilized in Vegas.
But you're no Vegas haw, man.
Ray was my caddy. Poor Ray. Bringing me ice and stuff like he does here in the studio as I am immobilized.
That was the weirdest thing I've ever heard a host request.
Ice?
Say, like, Ray, can you go get my ice?
And by ice, they're ice packs that go into my brace that I use to cool off my knee because it's hot to the touch, which is not a good thing I've learned from doctors and such. Your knee should be not hot to the touch.
Never.
No, because that means you're overheating and there's inflammation and things are bad.
Okay.
But we're going to get that solved. And hopefully it doesn't end up like the situation we almost had on Friday night in Las Vegas. Ray and I decided to meet up and watch the Cubs game late.
This was Friday night?
Yeah, Friday Saturday against night? The Angels. A very tight game.
It's a good game.
Very close game, very low scoring game, wondering what's going to happen. Well, we thought we had like the best game. And there's multiple screens, and the Cubs are up on the big screen, but another game is also on a big screen. That would be Dodgers and Padres. And, you know, Vegas, not far from either of those locations. So people drive to the sports book at Circa Resort and Casino,
yeah.
Place bets, have a good time with their buddies. We had a group of Padres fans sitting directly below us, and then on the railing right beside where we were sitting, because we were on the aisle, there were a couple of Dodgers fans. And I don't know how they started getting into it, but all of a sudden Ray and I noticed that they were getting a little bit louder and a little bit more chippy, to the point where a Dodgers fan who was wearing a tank top and what most people would say is an undershirt, and that's all he had on.
Mm-hmm. I can picture it.
Yelling at the Padres fans, like, show me your slip. I'll show you my slip right here. Because the Dodgers and Padres are playing. I guess this man had some money on the game. And Ray, I'll let you pick it up from there, what transpired next.
Yeah, so the guy just starts yelling down from up there, down at the sportsbook seats to the Padres, at these Padres guys who start responding. First of all, it's one lone Dodgers fan is how it starts, just talking that mess down to the Padres fans. And the Padres fans were deep. There were a lot of Padres fans in attendance at the sportsbook, and they were not having it. They were barking back at the lone Dodgers fan. And then, as they're screaming at each other, and the Dodgers fan is pulling out his Circa sportsbook slip, show me your slip. Look, I got my bet in. Show me yours. Then his other Dodgers friends come over, and they start yelling at the Dodgers, at the Padres fans, to the point that now security's coming. And security goes to the sports book and separates everybody, because now the Padres guys are up out of their seats and they're walking towards
the
Dodgers fans. And it was tense. The security broke things up. I have never been. See, I've only seen in Chicago the Crosstown Series beefs when I go to the Crosstown Classic, Cubs versus White Sox. That's the only time I've seen something that tense. I've never witnessed other fandom beefs like that. And we're in Las Vegas at a neutral site, and these guys are going at it verbally.
Texter is asking, you guys could tell me if this is the answer. Now, was the tank top guy Russ Dorsey? A texter would like to know.
That's a great question. It was not Russell Dorsey, but he will be in studio with me tomorrow.
Yes, he will.
And we will have a good time talking baseball, football, and everything
else. Will you talk about Yoan Moncada's two home runs? In that, didn't he hit two dingers?
I was so mad. I was angry.
He looks a little
that.
Thicker these days, doesn't he, Yoan Moncada?
He does a little bit,
Or just looks older? Like we all get a little thicker,
I guess, so.
As we age?
I was angry seeing those two Yoan Moncada home runs.
Doesn't matter. He's with the Angels. He was sent to the Angels. You know what I mean? Like, he's not in a good place.
But of course he did it against the Cubs.
Yeah.
So there's been this suggestion, and I think it was maybe Ken Rosenthal, but that the Dodgers Padres has surpassed Yankees Red Sox as like the ultimate baseball rivalry. And I'm inclined to believe that he's right. First of all, I just don't love the Yankees team right now, the way they look. But Padres Dodgers has meant something for a minute now. These two teams, both big spenders, getting after it every year.
So they pass it up for now. Is that what's making it?
Yeah, like now. Like, what is the biggest rival in baseball right now?
Yeah, but in general, it's still Red Sox, Yankees, or Cubs, Cardinals, right? I mean, I hate to accept that because I'm not an East Coaster, but like, it is what it is. It's a great rivalry.
I feel like when the Red Sox get rid of future Hall of Famers in the manner in which they did with Mookie Betts, it kind of, whereas maybe the Dodgers and Padres are willing to go out there and spend all the money.
It reminds me of the Bears and how the Bears, of course, their rival is the Packers. But you ask Packers fans these days, they'll tell you the Minnesota Vikings. And the Vikings will say the same because they've won more and they've had a better rivalry than Bears-Packers. It'll go back to Bears-Packers. It always will be Bears-Packers. I'm afraid that, and I know everybody hates Red Sox Yankees. I used to hate Red Sox Yankees, and then I came around. I'm like, no, these are two classic organizations that have really fun games, and for a long time, we're both good for at the same time.
You know what helps with that?
What?
The pitch clock. Because when they were playing 4.5-hour games, it was not fun.
That was Theo Epstein, by the way. Ironically, the man who fought for the pitch clock, right? Because that was Theo Epstein-style baseball in terms of what they were asking their hitters to do.
Can I ask you a favor?
Yes, you can.
Can you
go get that ice? Here, I'll go get that.
No. Can you ask Robbie Triano to write down that we should ask Russell Dorsey what the best rivalries in baseball are tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, write that down, Robbie. Best rivalries in baseball.
It is still, I think, Yankees-Red Sox.
I'm afraid so. I hate saying it. And you know what? Cardinals fans did not do their part this year in the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Both teams have to be actively involved for it to be a rivalry.
What other great rivalries are there in baseball?
Well, I'll tell you the great rivalry at the Circus Sportsbook on Friday does have a happy ending, because after the security came and you know tensions died down a little bit, the loudest Padres fan that was barking at the loud Dodgers guy went over to the corner where the Dodgers guy was, and they shook hands, and they had a little conversation like, we're here, two grown men in this sports book yelling at each other. We should probably chill out.
A little mea culpa. It was dangerously close to me because, as you know, I was not getting up and moving out of the way. So I was like, am I going to be in the middle of like a...
Oh, wow. I can't defend myself?
I was just very pleasantly surprised to see in this day and age that two people who were just screaming at each other could come together and say, hey, man.
You know why? Because they weren't online. No one said, meet me in Temecula.
That's
a very different vibe.
Real quick, before we do the 10 seconds, Ray, how was your walk with Layla? Did you guys get in trouble?
Oh, we went to the Mantis, man. It was epic. You could see she tweeted out the epic Mantis video. The third edition.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, so it was great.
Shout out to Lails. Caller 6. It's time to give away something. Caller 6. Riot Fest, anyone? The score contest line, 312-644-6. Is that the contest line? 67-67, guys? That's what I have written down here. Yes, no, no. Please say that again, Ray, on the air.
312-540-0670.
Thank you. We'll win a pair of general admission tickets to Riot Fest on Sunday, September 21st, featuring performances by Green Day, Idols, Bad Religion, Inhaler, and more. It's all coming up on the score. But hold on. We've got transition next. Is it Spiegel and Holmes in the house? Carmen Vitale is in the house with Lawrence Holmes. We will transition with them next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.